Right. Well, we were talking a little bit about the good schools where some of our children attend and the curriculum, and we don't want to have a one-size-fits-all. You know, that's why I chose to homeschool initially all of my children, because even when I was just looking at the state of Pennsylvania, I thought, gosh, you know, one child might learn more auditorily, one might learn more visually, one might learn hands-on. And I was very inspired when I would go to these homeschool curriculum fairs to see thousands of curriculum and tens of thousands of books that I could use for geography or math or writing. I adore Institute for Excellence in Writing. So I've kind of been on board with going against this kind of all of our kids are cattle and we're making them all go into one, you know, we're pushing them into these stalls to come out as one thing. I've always kind of been fighting against that. And again, we can talk about that later. I'm digressing. But I just think that this one size fits all is very detrimental to all of our educational systems.
Well, look at it this way. Suppose you're a high achiever and you're in a class. By the way, classes will be a mix of everyone. There will be people who have language issues.
Right. Developmental delays.
Developmental delays. And you'll also have the high achievers, and you'll have probably the majority of them being the normal student.
Right. Sure.
You know? What do you do with the high achiever that has to sit in a classroom and has to be dumbed down to?
Right.
Boredom sets in.
Right. And boredom sets in, and then instead of them getting all A's, they might actually get lower grades because they're so bored, as you're saying. And again, that's why I do adore homeschooling so much, because my one daughter loves math and she does 15 pages a day when she only needs to do one. My other daughter dislikes math, and so we only do one page a day. So we're really not going to have that with Common Core, that we can kind of uniquely look at our children. And let me share this with you from a mommy perspective, and you know that I have a degree in occupational therapy. It mm-hmm. is not beneficial to have our high-functioning students, the students that are brilliant and very quickly grasp material, okay, and the children that may have learning differences, let's say, because those children that have learning differences, they know that it takes them a little bit longer. Now you're placing this anxiety on them that they have to achieve as quickly as the other students are, and it's not kind to anyone.
Well, let me respond to that by saying this. There are a class of students that have issues in learning, and we call that IEPs. Now, they could be good issues, you know, they could be exceptional students, they could be slow learners with learning disabilities. Now, an IEP is issued to address how that student will be taught. Okay? Now, keep that in mind. The whole year, they are taught separately. And then when it comes time for the assessment tests, they are all given. All students are given the same assessment test.
And they're not going to be allowed to take that test in an hour and 45 minutes versus an hour. They're not going to have any of those.
Well, look at it this way. They will have to take the same test.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, timing is another thing that we have to address. There are some stories whereby when a student is remediated, should he fail the test, he or she fail the test, the remediation, the second test is given separately from the class, okay, with a monitor there watching them,
mm-hmm.
and they're given as much time as necessary to finish the test. My point in getting to the IEP students is the fact that they require a different educational plan.
Right.
And they are taught differently.
Right.
And yet, when they get to the finish line, they have to cross the finish line with every other student that was taught another way or taught differently. And that's not fair.
It's not fair.
So that that issue has not been addressed as far as Common Core is concerned. So it becomes more and more involved as we go through this. And as I say, I've been working this for 2 years, and within 2 weeks after starting my education process on Common Core, where I thought I knew everything, every day something comes up. It's ever changing. We have no idea what to expect. It's difficult to track. As you said earlier, it's much like Obamacare. You have to pass it to see what's going on. Now, let me say this. This is not Obama's child here. This has been going on for decades. The change in education has been going on for decades. We had outcome-based education. The experts said, let's do outcome-based education because we know this is better. And then that didn't work out too well now, did it?
No.
And then they came up with the new math. They came up with project-based learning, which was PBL. And they said, this is new. The experts agree that this is the way to go. And then that didn't work out too well. And then they went to No Child Left Behind. And you know how much of a love affair that has created in the educational system.
Right.
That didn't work out. Now the experts, the same experts, are saying, we have something new. It's called Common Core. Now, look, I believed you before. Now, why should I believe you now?
Right.
When, in fact, we spend tons of money, we wrecked a class of students that attended school during that time period. So No Child Left Behind came in under Bush. Okay?
Yes.
And then with the stimulus package, money was injected into the states to push Common Core. It's just now it's in the overdrive mode. They're ramming this through the states, and it's not right.
Right. And if I can just give a little commercial, because you've given us a wealth of information about where our educational system has come in the last 50 years, I would say. My understanding is that the progressive thinker, progressive father of education, his name was John Dewey, and he came in and he kind of changed a lot of things. And I'm not sure if they started standardized tests then, but I know that they started looking at things differently. They perhaps were throwing phonetics out and cursive writing and memorization of times tables and a lot of rote memory in reality. And I think that that is why so many of us love homeschooling. Many of us use a classical approach because we look at, I'm just going to say, the founding fathers of this country or all of the pioneers that came to this country. And you know, Richard, in 1776, when we had the Declaration of Independence, or when we had our Constitution, they were all written for the common man, for the farmers in our country, and they were able to understand these well-written documents. And I would like to get back to educating our children in the way that our founding fathers were. And what I mean by that is reading the classics, teaching our children how to write well and debate. And I think that and memorizing facts. I know that it's boring, but boy, does it work, Richard, when we put facts into our little 5, 6, 7-year-old brains, and then they're able to use those facts for higher level thinking when they're, you know, I'm big into, we start with the grammar years, go to the dialectic, and then we go to the rhetoric stages. But that is just my little commercial for classically trained children. I'd like to see us going back to some of those things. So anyway, let's go back to Common Core, because we're going to do a whole other show on homeschooling one day, Richard.
Yes. Well, we have to talk about
the big concerns.
What options are available to the parents? And my group.
Oh, that's true. We do need to start talking about that now, because Common Core has made that at the forefront for all of us.
Right. And my group, which is Pennsylvanians Against Common Core, is a statewide group.
Yes.
We have approximately aligned with our group, about 4,800 parents. which are voters.
Yes.
Okay, our total outreach in the state is about 150,000 people. Okay, we have penetration or people aligned with us that represent every county in the state.
Awesome.
Okay, now we have a website which is called knowpacommoncore.com.
Yes, and we can go there and get all of this information, and you keep abreast of all of the latest news there.
Now, that is a living web page. We amend that page at least twice a week, and we advise your listeners to join our group, because numbers are very important, and I'll explain why.
And I also want to urge our listeners to like you on Facebook, because that has been very helpful to me, to go to Pennsylvanians Against Common Core on Facebook.
That's correct. Now, you know, signing up to our web page, we will send out quarterly newsletters, or if necessary, if something is happening that we need people to get involved, we will send something out. You know, we don't, we're not a 501c3. We don't make any money on this. Everybody is participating at their own expense, so on and so forth. But we want to get the word out. So when you like us on our Facebook page, Pennsylvanians Against Common Core, that sends a message to the politicians. And let me give you a short summation of what happened. One time I was talking to the reelection committee for Governor Corbett about Common Core. And, you know, Corbett is for Common Core, or at least he's not against it. And things are rolling out to implement Common Core, and it's continuing even today. But when I got to, when I showed the gentleman I spoke with the outreach of our Facebook page, his eyes opened up. We have an outreach of about 54,000 people a week.
And we need more. We need more support to wake up our governor's eyes even more. So please like this on Facebook, and also check us out at our website, knowpacommoncore.com.
Now, let me just tell you about our group. Our name is Pennsylvanians Against Common Core. And we're not only about being against something. We are for something as well. But when we opened up Pennsylvanians Against Common Core, we felt that that was a good name to get people interested in Common Core. But it's been about a year now, a little over a year, that the page has been up and running, and now people are asking us, if not Common Core, then what? And what we are for is for educational acceptance, excellence.
Yes.
And
And how about bringing, I know that you're also for this, how about bringing the control and the approval of our education to the state level and to our local school boards and to the parents? That's just what I'm going to say.
Well, that's one of the downfalls of Common Core. I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but once Common Core is fully implemented, there will be no such thing as local control. If you have an issue, an educational issue, with your school district, you will have to address that to some bureaucratic agency in Washington, D.C.
And they're never going to get back to us, or I'm going to get tired of trying to get in touch with them. I'll be honest with you.
Exactly. Yes.
They're going to wear me down.
And that's contrived. That's to be that way.
Right.
So you're not going to have any control, local control, but yet your real estate taxes, your school taxes are going to be going to your school district, and yet you have no control over that.
And they're probably going to be increased, and I don't have any control over that, even though I dislike what I'm seeing in the school.
Right. Now, when the school board today wants to increase their budget, if you attend the school board meetings, you can have an input to that.
Yes.
And just keep in mind, the school board members are elected officials.
Yes.
Okay, the school board hires the superintendent. and the superintendent takes direction from the intermediate unit, which is between the superintendent and the Department of Education. So your only voice as a taxpayer is to the people you elect on the school board. And so that is where the buck stops, so to speak. You can go to your school board meetings and voice your opinions, and that is now what is happening in New York. The attendance at school board meetings in New York rivals all. I mean, they have 30, 40 people there, parents, pounded the school board about Common Core, about the money spent on Common Core, about what it's doing to the children. You're not going to be able to do that in the future. You're going to have to take a bus or a train or a car and drive to Washington to see somebody about your complaint. And, of course, they're going to say, you're the only one complaining. Right. Maybe it's your child.
Right.
So if you do attend your school board meetings, do not make it personal. Do not make it about your child. Make it about all children.
Yes.
Because you never want the school board to come down to you and say, well, Mrs. So-and-so, maybe it's your child. Okay? Because then you've lost the battle.
Right. We need to come together with all of the families. That gives us more power. It's not just about me and my little girl. It's about all of our children.
Now, get this. I told you about Pennsylvania Against Common Core, what we're against, obviously. But what we're for is we want an excellent educational system. And to do this, for example, why not go back to the pre-Common Core standards that Pennsylvania had once before? You know, once before, let's say, 2006, before No Child Left Behind came in. And then take the standards of other states, from other states that have proven success, like in Massachusetts, in California, in Indiana. All these states offer something of excellence in their standards. And so why not marry those standards into our standards to come up with truly a state-generated set of standards?
That makes sense.
Yes, because that is...
I am for that. Pennsylvania's for Richard Felice. That is good.
Yeah, so when we do that, then you truly have a set of state-generated standards that we all can be proud of. Now, that is our ultimate objective.
Richard, we are going to stop there.
Okay.
And I am just going to finish this segment, and then we are going to begin segment two. So, Richard, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today with Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi. We are at 1180 WFYL. We are discussing Common Core. We are getting educated. What is Common Core? How did this come to our states? Who are the enablers and the proponents? That's what we have been discussing this hour. And if you join us again for our second segment with Richard Felice, of Eastern Coordinator of Pennsylvania's Against Common Core, we are going to continue to study the concerns of Common Core. We are going to continue describing Pennsylvania's Against Common Core and what we are for. And then also, what is happening right now? Again, thank you so much for joining us, Richard. And this is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.